Okay, so you know how spring used to be like clockwork? And then boom, the sniffles hit, the itchy eyes started. Yeah. But lately, it feels like those allergy things are, they're like starting earlier and then they just won't quit, right?
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
Like you're not imagining it. Welcome to the Meteorology Matters podcast. We dig into all the science stuff happening up there in the atmosphere. And today, we are going to untangle this whole mess of climate change and what it's doing to your allergies.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to really look at how all that warming and shifts in the environment, those are not only making the pollen seasons longer,
Right.
they're upping the pollen production and making those reactions you get maybe even worse.
Yeah. And you've brought some really interesting research with you.
I have.
We want to make sure everyone listening gets like the key takeaways. What does this mean for your health, your everyday life? Stick with us because you might be surprised by some of this. And for even more on these topics, make sure you're following meteorologist Rob Jones, Instagram meteorologist, on TikTok, TV meteorologist, and on YouTube, follow Rob Jones Hurricane. Where you can also find the Meteorology Matters podcast playlist.
All right, so this whole thing about allergy season feeling like a marathon, not a sprint, is there science backing that up?
Yeah, you're actually spot on. It's amazing how what you're noticing just out in the world lines up with what we're seeing in the research. You know, those warmer winters we've been having, they're making spring come earlier, fall starts later. And that means a longer stretch without a frost. So plants have more time to grow and, well, more time to pump out pollen.
So I'm not going crazy. It's not just me. There's actual like data on
Oh,
this.
yeah, there are studies showing pollen seasons all across North America. They're starting something like 20 days earlier compared to back in the 1990s.
That's a big jump. And it's not just that they're starting sooner, they're lasting longer too in a lot of places.
And is this for all types of pollen, or is it just like, I keep thinking about ragweed.
Ragweed is a great example, actually. There was research that looked at ragweed pollen seasons at 11 different spots in the central US and Canada, going all the way back to 1995. And you know what?
What?
The season's gotten longer at 10 of those 11 places. And here's the kicker that increase is even more noticeable the further north you go.
More in the north. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, it seems counterintuitive at first, but it makes sense. When you think about it, you see up north, they've had even bigger changes in that frost-free period. And the first frost of fall that's happening way later now, that later frost that lines up perfectly with that longer ragweed season, like in Winnipeg, their ragweed season, that's about 25 days longer. Now, Saskatoon, it's about 24, Fargo, 21, and Minneapolis, 18 days longer.
Wow, those are some big increases. So longer seasons, that's one thing. But what about the amount of pollen? Is there more of that floating around too?
That's the thing. Pollen levels across the US, they've gone up about 21% between 1990 and 2018. So yeah, there's more of it, and it's likely because of those higher temperatures and all that extra carbon dioxide we're putting in the air.
So the same stuff that's messing with the climate is making our allergies worse.
Exactly. Warmer weather means bigger plants, generally speaking, and carbon dioxide, well, it actually helps plants do photosynthesis better. They need less energy to take in CO2, so they have more to put towards growing. And guess what?
Yeah.
That includes making more pollen. So it's a double whammy, bigger plants with more flowers, and each flower is cranking out even more pollen than it used to.
Not good news if you've got allergies, but I remember reading something about how just like the regular weather can make things worse too, not just the temperature.
Right, you know how increased rain and changes in humidity can actually make your allergies feel worse?
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Well, those things are all tied to climate change too. When pollen gets wet, it breaks down into these tiny little bits, and those can get way deeper into your lungs and cause stronger reactions.
So a rainy day during allergy season doesn't always mean a break.
Nope, not necessarily. Plus, you gotta think about air quality too. Air pollution that can mix with pollen and actually make it even worse for you.
Oh no.
Burning fossil fuels, that's a big problem there. You're getting the CO2 that heats things up, but you're also getting all these other pollutants that irritate your airways and they can stick to pollen and make it more allergenic. So it's like a vicious cycle. More emissions mean more pollen, and we're more sensitive to it because of those emissions.
Like this crazy domino effect.
Right. And people with asthma, they're extra vulnerable to all of this.
Okay.
There's research showing that they're more sensitive to things like ozone, which is a really common air pollutant. Their allergies can even flare up worse after being around ozone.
So this is kind of scary for our health.
Yeah.
What kind of symptoms are we talking about here that might get worse or more common?
You're probably familiar with the usual suspects with seasonal allergies. You know, runny nose, sneezing, itchy eyes, congestion, and that feeling of just being wiped out. But it can go beyond that, especially for kids.
How so?
Kids can have a whole range of symptoms. They might get skin rashes like hives. They could have trouble breathing. They'll sneeze and cough a lot, watery or itchy eyes. And some even get like an upset stomach.
Oh, wow.
And it's not just the physical stuff. It can really mess with their ability to focus and do well in school. There's actually studies showing that kids might have trouble learning, and their grades can even take a hit during those peak pollen times.
Yeah, I bet a lot of parents can relate to that. And for adults, it's not just feeling lousy allergies. Can make other health problems worse too, right?
You got it. We already talked about asthma. Pollen's a big trigger for that. So more pollen can mean more shortness of breath, more chest tightness, wheezing. And in some cases, it can even land you in the ER. And there's new research suggesting that allergies might actually make you more likely to get sick with viruses too, because they make your airways inflamed.
Oh, wow.
It's like your body's already fighting one battle, so it can't fight off a virus as well. And I remember you mentioning something about how pollen itself might be doing more than just setting off your immune system.
Yeah, I did see something about that.
Well, some studies are showing that pollen and other allergens, they can actually damage the DNA in the cells lining your nose and lungs, and that adds to that whole chronic inflammation problem.
So it's not just a temporary annoyance. It could be causing long-term damage.
That's what the research is pointing to. And when you add that to the link between pollen and asthma attacks, it's a little scary. We already think something like 35,000 to 60,000 ER visits every year are because of pollen. And some experts think that number could jump by 14% by 2090 if things keep going the way they are.
Those are huge numbers. And I imagine all these health impacts have to cost a lot of money too.
They do. In the U.S. alone, we spend over $3 billion every year on medical costs just because of pollen. One study from 2011 put the cost of treating seasonal allergies at about $3.4 billion annually. And that's just the direct medical costs,
yeah.
Right? It doesn't even include things like missed work because you're not feeling well.
Right. Presenteeism and all that.
Yeah. You're at work or school, but you're not really functioning at 100% because you feel so crummy from allergies.
Huh.
There's a study in Sweden that showed just how much allergies cost in terms of lost productivity, missed work, healthcare costs. It's a big problem. So those 3.8 million missed work and school days because of allergies, that's probably just the tip of the iceberg.
It's a massive problem for sure. Are some people more at risk than others?
Sadly, yes. There are some groups that get hit harder by all of this black and brown communities. They often live in areas with more air pollution, and that means they're dealing with both more pollen and worse air quality, which just compounds the problem.
So that's a real environmental justice issue.
It is. We've been talking about pollen in general, but are there any specific types that are really bad for people with allergies?
Like ragweed.
Ragweed, that's a huge one. It's everywhere, and it's a major trigger for both hay fever and asthma attacks. Researchers estimate about 15.5% of people in the U.S. are sensitive to ragweed pollen.
And that's getting worse with climate change, right?
Absolutely. Ragweed plants, they usually start to mature in midsummer, and then they release pollen that peaks in late summer, early fall. It keeps going until the first frost hits. And here's the crazy part. A single ragweed plant can produce 1 billion pollen grains in one season.
1 billion. Just from one plant.
Yep. And like we talked about, warmer weather, more carbon dioxide that makes those plants produce even more pollen. There's even some research suggesting that the pollen itself becomes more allergenic in these changed conditions. And get this, cities can actually have even more ragweed growth and pollen than rural areas because of the urban heat island effect. Cities are just warmer, and they also tend to have higher levels of carbon dioxide. There was a study in Baltimore that showed ragweed in the city grew faster and produced more pollen than ragweed out in the countryside.
So if you live in a city, you're getting a double whammy with ragweed.
Yeah.
You're exposed to it for longer, and that pollen might even be stronger. This is all pretty discouraging for people with allergies.
Yeah.
Are there any places in the U.S. that are better for allergy sufferers?
Good question. The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, they actually rank U.S. cities based on how bad they are for people with allergies. They look at pollen counts, over-the-counter medication use, and how many allergy specialists are in the area.
Okay, and what did they find?
Well, for the third year in a row, Wichita, Kansas, that took the top spot as the worst city for allergies in 2024, mainly because they have really high tree and grass pollens. New Orleans jumped way up to number two this year, probably because of a longer weed pollen season, thanks to all the moisture from hurricanes. And the unusually warm fall, they had cities in the Midwest and Southeast. They tend to rank higher because of the warmer weather and all the plants that grow there.
How about the best cities?
Several cities in the Northeast, like Boston, they were among the least challenging in 2024. That might be because they had lower pollen counts this year, maybe due to drought conditions, and they also have better access to medical care, especially allergy specialists. Washington, D.C. ranked low too, mostly because they have a ton of allergists, even though their pollen levels are about average.
It's interesting how much the availability of doctors plays a role. And didn't California have some crazy pollen levels last year?
They did. Yeah, a lot of urban areas in California that usually have low pollen, they saw way higher counts than normal, most likely. That was because of all the rain they had, including those atmospheric rivers. It really boosted plant growth.
So both the long-term climate changes and the short-term weather patterns, they're both shaking things up for allergies. And we keep coming back to cities as being especially bad. Why is that?
A couple of reasons. First, all that air pollution in cities, it can irritate your airways and actually make your immune system more sensitive to pollen, so you react more strongly. Second, there's that urban heat island effect we talk about. Cities are warmer than the surrounding areas, and that helps plants grow bigger and release pollen for longer periods, like we saw with that Baltimore study. City ragweed was
So
thriving.
to recap,
Yeah.
it's pretty clear that climate change is making seasonal allergies a much bigger and longer lasting problem.
Absolutely. And we talked about how that warmer climate is leading to longer, more intense pollen seasons with higher pollen counts. And that can really make your allergy symptoms flare up and have bigger impacts on your health and even the economy.
It's not just some abstract science thing. This is impacting your daily life, how you feel in the spring and fall, your ability to focus and get things done.
Yeah.
It's real.
Right. And while we need to tackle climate change for long-term solutions, there are things you can do right now to manage your allergies. Things like checking your local pollen forecast, keeping your windows closed when pollen counts are high, maybe getting an air purifier for your home, and talking to an allergist about medications or allergy shots.
Great advice. And for more info and to keep up with all the latest on meteorology and how our climate is changing, make sure you're following meteorologist Rob Jones, Instagram meteorologist, on TikTok, TV meteorologist, and on YouTube, follow Rob Jones Hurricane, where you can also find the Meteorology Matters podcast playlist. It's amazing to think that something as familiar as seasonal allergies is being so drastically affected by our environment. Makes you wonder what other parts of our lives that we take for granted are more connected to climate change than we realize.
You got it.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Meteorology Matters podcast. We'll see you next time.
See you later. Bye.